When your heart is down before God, sometimes that can just mean, you know, something's wrong and you need to get it right.
I'll choose to listen and believe the voice.
A few weeks ago, I noticed that one of our houseplants wasn't doing well. Apparently, it needed some plant food and a better location with more sunlight. Sure enough, the plant revived when we took those simple steps. Now, reviving a houseplant is easy, but what can we do if our personal spiritual life isn't doing well? Welcome to the Voice of Truth with Pastor J.D. Glasscock of Calvary Chapel, Houston Metro. The Bible gives us many examples of men and women who struggle at times in their walk with the Lord. So what can we learn by studying their struggles and recoveries? Pastor J.D. will explain in his message, How to Have Personal Revival.
Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Psalms 119? Look down with me at verse 25. My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. I have declared my ways, and you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts. So shall I meditate on your wondrous works. My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove from me the way of lying and grant me your law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me. I cling to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. And I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. Well, I had read about a country church that was having their annual revival meeting, and on the first night, the preacher preached a message about repentance and the need to return to the Lord. Well, after the altar call, a man came down the aisle saying, "Fill me, Lord, fill me." Well, the next night, the preacher challenged the congregation with the need to totally surrender their lives to Jesus Christ in complete obedience. Again, the altar call was given. Like the night before, this same man came down the aisle saying, "Fill me, Lord, fill me." Well, the third night of the revival, the preacher warned his congregation of the evils of sin and urged the congregation to live lives of holiness. Again, at the invitation, the same man came down the aisle saying, "Fill me, Lord, fill me." This time, someone in the back of the church yelled, "Don't do it, Lord, he's got a leak." You know, the truth is, at times we all leak. There are times in our life, in our spiritual lives, where you might say we've got a leak and we need to be revived. And the title of this message, How to Have Personal Revival. It's wonderful that David is so honest about his spiritual life. It's not often that we have the opportunity to see inside the spiritual life of such a godly man. You know, we all look up to spiritual giants, such men as Billy Graham, or maybe we have a favorite pastor that we enjoy listening to on the radio. And some of these ministers, you know, they've practically become Christian celebrities. And yet, we know so little about their personal weaknesses. But the truth be told, there is not a single believer that does not at times need personal revival. No one is continually living on a spiritual cloud, but a genuinely humble man or a woman of God is the one that will admit it. And David, he went deeper than admission. He wrote about his confession, and then he went further than confession, and he wrote about God's provision. From admission to confession to provision, you know, God knows how to fix the leaky life. Do you need revival today? Maybe you're not sure. You can ask yourself just some very honest questions. Do I experience joy? You remember what it was like when you first came to Jesus Christ. Oh, the joy that you experienced, you know, just the wonderful realization that you've been saved from your sins and that you're going to heaven and that you know Jesus Christ. And there was that filling of the Spirit of God as He entered into your life for the first time and you experienced the joy of the Lord. Do you experience joy today? Do I have the peace of God? Another question. Am I continually anxious? Am I worried about something? Is my life full of fear, worry, distressed. You remember how it was when you first came to the Lord. You just had that peace that came upon you, and you just knew that, you know, everything's all right in the Lord. I'm going to be okay. Have you lost that peace? A third question, is my heart filled with love for God and the love of God? I think this is the mother of all tests. You know, you'll notice, well, I didn't mention anything about reading the Word of God or prayer. You know, it's very possible to be disciplined in reading God's Word. It's possible to have a disciplined prayer life and yet be far away from the Lord spiritually. Some are just great at spiritual habits, but there's nothing in it. It's empty and it's hollow. But we know that the fruit of the Spirit of God, love, joy, peace. You know, only a healthy spiritual life will produce such fruit. The spiritual fruit will manifest itself. You know, you're willing to forgive others when they do you wrong. You're at peace with those who are around you. You simply just love them, and in spite of their faults and in spite of their failures, you know, you love them anyway. And there is an attitude of humility when you're serving the Lord. Oh, and you're not walking around, you know, all puffed up in your knowledge. In fact, just the opposite is true. I believe when your spiritual life is healthy, you're living with a sense, there is an awareness. Oh, I know so little. I wished I knew more. Lord, enlighten me. Help me to understand. But if this is missing, if this spiritual fruit in your life, if it isn't evident, if it's not there, if it cannot be seen, well, you can be sure that there is a problem. Your life needs revival. It's been said of alcoholism that you can't even begin to deal with the problem until you admit that there's a problem. And you know, the same is true of personal spiritual revival. There are some who will jump at the opportunity to become right with God, and that's David. There are others, you know, they just rather live in denial of the problem. Well, I don't have a problem. There's nothing wrong with me. My spiritual life is right where it should be. You know, I believe churches today are filled with people who would rather live in denial than face up to their need for personal revival. It's commendable. The testimony of a great man of God that David was, you know, that he was willing to face the problem, not just privately, but even publicly, because every psalm that David wrote is really, it's a public record of the life of David. That's so wonderful about the Psalms. You get to see inside of this great spiritual man, David. And as David faces his problem, we're going to discover this morning four steps that he took toward being revived in his spiritual life. The first step is admission, confession. The admission is that you are spiritually destitute. You're in a spiritual dry place. Look with me at David's admission of his condition, verse 25. My soul clings to the dust. The King James Version, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Another translation, I lie in the dust. Or, my earthly life cleaves to the dust. One word that is common to each translation is the word dust. Dust. You know, over the years of observing the behavior of bulls while on the ranch, I've often watched them paw the dust with their hoof. You know, what is that all about? Why is it that, you know, you see them and they see you and, you know, they start pawing the dust? Well, that's the bull letting you know that he's tough, he's rough, and he's ready to run you over if you don't get out of the way. And you better be ready to move. And to the bull, the pawing of the dust is a sign of strength, his dominance. But in the Hebrew culture, it's just the opposite. Dust is a sign of self-effacement. To be in the dust is to be low. It was to be humiliated, down in life, humbled before God. It's really a posture of repentance. And in Joshua 7:6, it says, then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening. He and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. And David, admitting that his personal life is in the dust. Look with me at verse 26. I have declared my ways. You know what that is? That is David being honest in his confession. I have declared my ways before you, Lord. I'm just being open. I've been honest. You know, one of our tendencies is to run from God when we are at a spiritually low place in life. And we want to go the other direction. Leave. You know, this tactic of running when you're in spiritual trouble, it's just as old as the human race. Adam was the first runner. And you know, when Adam sinned, what did he do? Oh, he didn't run to God. He ran from God and he hid from God. How foolish it is when we deceive ourselves into believing that we can hide our spiritual problems from God. You know, God knows every spiritual peak. He knows every spiritual valley that you will ever experience in your life before you ever get there. He already knows about it. You remember Jesus said to Peter, he said, "Peter, you're about to deny me three times." Now, I think Peter thought that was an absolute joke. "Oh, no, Lord, not me." You see, Peter was at the top of this spiritual mountain, and he said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you, though all the others may leave, not me. I will die for you, Lord." You know what that is? That's Peter pawing in the dust. Little did Peter know that in just a few short hours, he would digress from pawing the dust to crawling in the dust. But you know who knew? Jesus knew. God knows. And so there's no use running from God. He already knows. Notice with me the heaviness of heart that is symptomatic of this spiritual condition. Look at verse 28. "My soul melts from heaviness." This word melt is it's really only used three times in the Old Testament. It can mean to pour out. It can mean to drop through. There are some translators who interpret this to mean that the heart is dripping tears of sorrow. It's a severe sadness of heart. By the way, this condition of the heart, did you know it's really a blessing to the believer? We are never to live continually with a heavy heart. But the season of heaviness can be the life-saving blessing of the believer. You know, pain is a symptom that something is just not right in your relationship with the Lord. When your heart is pained, when your heart is heavy, when your heart is down before God, sometimes that can just mean, you know, something's wrong and you need to get it right. I read an ABC News story on October 25th, "Meet the Child That Feels No Pain." This was about a little boy who was born with a rare condition that made him impervious to pain. And you might think, oh, what a blessing. Oh, I wished I had that problem. Never experienced pain. But if you read the story, you realize what an incredible blessing pain can be. Listen to this. Isaac was born with a congenital insensitivity to pain, a disorder that means he almost never feels pain, even if he breaks a bone. Because he doesn't feel injuries, Isaac's parents, Carrie and Randy Brown, are teaching him how to identify them to stay healthy. "The toddler years were an absolute nightmare," said Isaac's mother, Carrie Brown. "He would just drop to the ground and smack his face on the table, and he thought the fall was fun. Isaac had dunked his hand in hot coffee without even flinching. He once placed his palm on a working oven burner without shedding a tear." Pain. Oh, you know, we don't like pain, but it's the best protection that we have against more serious or further injury. When you are spiritually down on the ground, crawling around in the dust like David, you know, it's no time to be happy. The sorrow, the grief, the heaviness of heart, it's painful, but it's a blessing. Just as pain can drive us to a doctor, so that pained heart, really, it's there to drive us to the Lord. Now, this reminded me just of two snakes who slithered down the road. One snake turned to the other and he asked, "Are we poisonous?" Well, the other snake replied, "Well, I don't know. Why do you ask?" He said, "Because I bit my lip." You know, the most dangerous place in the life of the believer is to be in such a place that you feel no pain when you should feel pain. And if your heart is pained with heaviness, listen, don't run from God, run to God. Admit and confess. It's the first step that any believer must make towards personal revival. And verse 25 is David's admission, "My soul, oh, it clings to the dust." But the second step toward revival is to pray. Let's look together at David's prayer. Begins in the middle of verse 25, "My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word." You know, isn't that simple? Revive me according to your word. David in Psalm 143 said, "Revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake. For your righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble." My soul is in trouble, Lord. Revive me. I want you to notice something about this prayer. It is a confident prayer. Anytime that you ask something in the will of God, you can ask with confidence. You know, there are some things I've asked the Lord for. I don't necessarily ask with an attitude of confidence because I'm not really sure if it's the will of God. And so I use phrases like, "Oh Lord, if it be your will, if it is your plan, if it is your purpose." You know, it is always the plan and the purpose of God to revive us when we're in spiritual trouble. And according to 1 John chapter 5, I know that if I ask anything in the will of God, I can ask with confidence and I can ask and I can expect an answer from the Lord. And there's no question about it. God desires personal revival for every believer. Just consider the price that was paid so that you and I could have personal fellowship with the Lord. You know, it costs the Father the life of His Son, Jesus. And if it took the death of Jesus on the cross to make a way for you and I to have a relationship with the Lord, then don't you believe it is the will of God for your relationship with Him to be everything that it could be? Think of the cost, the price that was paid, the cross, the pain and the suffering of Jesus Christ. You know why He went through that? Because He wants you with Him. He wants your life connected to His. He wants you with Him in heaven. He wants you for all of eternity, but He wants you here right now. A personal, meaningful, loving relationship. And like David, the prayer is simple, confident. Revive my heart. In Psalm 51, verse 10, David prayed, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." And that's really what revival is. It's a cleansing of the heart. It's a spiritual renewal. It's a restoring of the spiritual life to what it should be and what God desires for it to be. And David prayed. He said, "Oh Lord, revive my heart according to your word." The third step toward personal revival is actually a step back. Sometimes, if you desire to go forward, you need to take a step back. And in this case, David needed to step back into the Word of God. Get into the Bible. If you're, you know, I'm sure maybe you've noticed this. When you're not walking with the Lord, the Word of God is far, far down the list of priorities. Isn't that true? Football? Yes. Playing golf? Oh, yes. Shopping? Oh, absolutely. Watching TV? Yes. Reading the sports scores? Yes. Reading the Bible? Reading the Bible? Reading the Bible? Well, I don't know where my Bible is or I'd read it. You know, isn't it interesting how quickly we can lose the Bible, but we never lose the remote to the television set? Isn't that right? Look with me at these verses. Reading the Word, getting into the Word. Verse 26, "Teach me your statutes." Verse 27, "Make me to understand your precepts." Verse 28, "Strengthen me according to your word." Verse 29, "Grant me your law graciously." Teach me, make me to understand, strengthen me, give me. You know, each of these requests David asked God for, they center upon the Word of God, the Bible. David recognized that he had stepped out of God's Word. We all know how much David treasured the Word of God. Psalm 1, "I will meditate on your Word day and night." This was a man that was in love with the Word of God. But did you know that Psalm 119 has the phrase, "Your Word," more than any chapter in the Bible? In fact, more than any book in the Bible. 36 times David repeats this phrase, "Your word," in Psalm 119. I'm just going to take seven of those verses. Verse 9, "How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word." Verse 11, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." Verse 16, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Verse 140, your word is very pure. Therefore, your servant loves it. Verse 147, I rise before the dawning of the morning and I cry for help. I hope in your word. Verse 162, I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. Can you see that David just had a tremendous love for the word of God? But at times, David walked away from the word of God. In fact, if you look at verse 67, he says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. And so we see the contrast. I was astray, I went away, I walked away from your word, but now I keep your word. That is David's admission that God's word had become a distant noise. It was no longer a lamp unto his feet. It was no longer a light unto his path. It wasn't a love that he once had for the word of God. And so the first step away from God often begins with a step away from the word of God. If we're going to experience personal revival, we need to step back into a life of daily reading and meditating upon the word of God. You know, if you just go through this psalm verse by verse, you will discover what great value the word of God was to the life of David, and so it is to you too. It has the power to give you the direction that you need. It has the protection to keep you from sin. It inspires praise. It's filled with purity. And if you've stepped away from the word of God, please, listen to the wise counsel of King David. Come back to the Word of God. There's something that I would like for you to be aware of here. Don't wait for a feeling. Don't say, well, I will read the Bible when I feel like it. I'll read the Bible when I'm in the mood. I will pick up that word when I feel, you know, that I'm really ready for it, but I'm just not. Don't wait for the feeling. You know, when you're crawling around with your face in the dirt, you may never have the feeling. You may never be in the mood. The mood may never come. I remember being a little boy, and I just hated taking medicine when I was sick. I remember my mother taking me to the doctor, and if I needed, the doctor would prescribe an antibiotic. Well, in those days, they didn't have all the fancy flavors that they have today. There was only one flavor. Yuck. You know, only flavor. There was no bubble gum, no strawberry, no cherry. It was all yuck. And you know, my mother, she never asked me, do you feel like taking your medicine, honey? Oh, no. She never asked me, but you know, without that medicine, I couldn't get well. So it is with stepping back into the Word of God. It's one step that you cannot avoid if you desire personal revival. And yes, you may not agree with the flavor in the beginning. It may taste like conviction. Your taste buds aren't in the mood for rebuke. It has the strong flavor of repentance. But in the end, you are rewarded with a wonderful savor of a personal revival. And how beautiful that is. How good that tastes. You remember the story of the prodigal son. What a joy it was to be back in the family again, just enjoying the fellowship of his father. David longed for the fellowship and the joy that he once had, and he was ready to take on the word of God. And whatever it took to get back, he was willing to do. He got into the word of God. There is one final step to personal revival.
You have been listening to The Voice of Truth with Pastor J.D. Glasscock of Calvary Chapel, Houston Metro. For a copy of today's message, call 281-499-6301. That's 281-499-6301. And mention today's date, or you can visit our website at calvary.cc. Calvary.cc. Calvary Chapel meets for worship services every Sunday morning at 9:30 at 7711 Brazewood Boulevard in Houston, Texas. We also have a midweek Bible study Wednesday evenings at 7. Thank you for listening, and we hope you will join us again for the next broadcast of the voice of truth.